Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, before you, I pray, you know, I did spend 3 days in Auburn, Alabama with my granddaughter through orientation. And the church happens to be full of Alabama Roll Tide fans. However, it's amazing what your granddaughter can do to your allegiances. So I sent one picture to the elders, and I had an Auburn hat on, and I put in the caption, traitor. So anyway, I fess up, and it's a real thing down there, by the way. It's not a joke. It's a real thing. So anyway, I pray for unity within the body. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your word, that we can look into it and just be taught and by you and have understanding, and, you know, and just really appreciate your teaching, and, you know, that you've saved us and that you also give us instruction in this life, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, I really bless that you would just speak to us this morning and open our hearts to what you have to say and the spirit in which it's said. So we give all things to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. To start off, as we're going to read in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Now, as we enter into 6:14, it's really to keep in mind how we got here. So God has been really driving home this, you know, our walk with Him, salvation. We are forgiven through grace. He calls us a new creation, ambassadors for Christ. You know, and so we're just saying, hooray for Jesus. You know, this is now what he does is the Bible does often. He's getting in our business. Okay. He's gonna get in our business and say, listen, this is some stuff you need to know. And so we're gonna look at this, and it's very interesting. We're gonna look at this verse. As I studied it, it was fascinating. I noticed the Lord wasn't real specific on an issue, but he talked about the principle of it. So it was a principle that we should evaluate all issues with. And so anyway, so what we have here in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says this, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? And what we want to look at and understand what God is saying and what he's not saying. So we want to really look closely at this because he's making a very strong point. And he is talking about the thing where he's talking about partnerships, the word partnerships, close partnership, and being unequally yoked. Now, a yoke, biblical times, a yoke physically would join almost always, especially in biblical time, would join two oxen together. It would join two oxen together so that they could pull a burden together. So the two oxen, you know, together, joined together, and then they could pull this burden together. So an unequally yoked team has mismatched animals. They have mismatched animals. And because of the mismatched animals, it's preventing the oxen from accomplishing their task. So that's the whole point. You know, it says, okay, the mismatch is keeping them from accomplishing the task that God has given them. Now, here, the unequally yoked represents believers associated with non-believers that lead them away from Christ. Now, this is important. It's like, oh, I can't make more money, or I can't do that. No, the issue he's addressing here, being unequally yoked represents believers associated with non-believers that lead them away from Christ. And we're going to see this more clearly as we go through here. A believer should never be allied with a non-believer so closely that it negatively affects their life. Now you can just see from God's perspective what he's talking about the relationship with him. A believer and unbeliever yoked together creates a tension pulling in opposite directions. That's the problem, the tension. It's like It's like, oh, that's a sin. No, it's the tension. The tension pulls them in the opposite direction. So here we got. The principle might be stated like this. Do not form any relationship, whether temporary or permanent, with unbelievers that would lead to a compromise of Christian standards. Now see, I think what's interesting when you look at this and you get the value of what is God saying. Well, this is a sin. That is a sin. He's not saying that. He said, what you're doing, you're making a decision that's going to lead you away from Christ. That's what should be in your mind. Not looking, that's a sin, that's a sin. No, what's leading you away from Christ? And there's impact of that. Be aware if you're unequally yoked. That's what happens. So when you look at this, there's a general principle here. There's a general principle that needs specific application under the Spirit's guidance. Okay, we're in line with God, and the Spirit is guiding us to understand all, to walk in all these relationships. All right? Well, I look out here as a picture of a yoke, biblical yoke. I'm real proud of myself for finding that picture. You know, little things in life make me happy. But anyway, so that is a yoke. Okay, that's a yoke. And so what you'd have two oxen in that one yoke. Okay, and so he couldn't pull the wagon by himself, so they get two and they can pull the wagon. They're yoked together. Now, and biblically, this is what they would have understood. It would look something like this. It'd probably been wood, and it would have probably been oxen. Oxen, you know, for working, you know. So this is literally what he's talking about. Okay, good. You happy with my picture? Wait till you see the next one. Next picture. There you are. There you are and your friends. See what happens. You see what's here. This is what it's talking about. These two animals are yoked together. Okay, and they got to go the same place. They got to go to the plate. Goes there. I mean, they're pulling against whatever, you know, or one says, I ain't pulling. Then another yoke. See, they're yoked together. And so what's happening, there's an influence. There's a real strong influence. They automatically influence one another because they're yoked together. They're yoked together. So does that look like you and anybody you know? I think those are pretty oxen. All right, but so here's the picture. But this is what this verse is talking about. And two, and what's important when we read it, it doesn't seem so real to everybody in the New Testament time knew exactly what he was talking about, totally what he's talking about. So just look at the picture. Just look at the picture. And we can just say, we can just say, they're just friends. They have no influence on me. Look at the picture. Do they? Look at the picture. Now, this is a question you ask yourself. Well, they're just friends. Think about your kids. They're just friends. They have no influence on me. Okay? So he's saying, hey, look at this picture. Understand the dynamic is what is happening. God is talking about yoked. He's talking about yoked. A strong association that influences behaviors. Not just a strong association, it's a strong association that influences behavior. And so God is speaking this to us. Now, so the point is made. Okay, the point is made. And for our understanding, and what it is, it's like understand you're loving Jesus, but understand what's happening and the dynamics are around you. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself and what I've called you to. Now, so we're going to leave 2 Corinthians for a minute and bounce over to a couple of other places just so we can get the whole picture of what God is communicating here. All right? So now, there's something we look here. He is clearly not warning against all association with unbelievers. He is not saying that. I should never be associated with unbelievers. He's not saying it. In fact, he didn't ever say it. Okay? He's not saying it here. He's not saying it here. So, What we want to look at is to understand, well, how do you balance being yoked and association and not being yoked? Well, he goes on, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 through 10, he tells us. Now, see, this is, we're reading the 2 Corinthians. He's written the whole book before 1 Corinthians. And so he touched on this subject before without talking about being yoked. So when he talked about being yoked in 2 Corinthians, he knew he wrote this, and he is talking about this also, okay? So we want to get a balance here, okay? Associated with unbelievers, being yoked to unbelievers, and kind of what the distance is, difference is. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 through 10. Chapter 5. And it reads like this. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexual immoral people. Who's he talking to? Church. He's talking to the church. I wrote to you in the letter, my letter, not to associate with sexually immoral people in the church. That's not supposed to happen in the church. You know, it's like, well, the Lord just said it just this one time, and you got to understand how things are. No, in the New Testament, you know how many times he says this? This statement, how many times he says it? 84 times. Just in case you missed it. Just in case you missed it. You know, just put it to old Wally terms. He doesn't want the unmarried people sleeping around. Revelation. Revelation. Either God must have told me that some night in a dream or something. No, he said it 84 times in the New Testament. Unmarried people are not to be sleeping around in the church. And if they do, he goes, don't even eat with them in the church. No, should know better. Should know better. Okay, but that's not what we're talking about. He's saying here, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate, in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the sexually immoral of the world. Do you see what he just did? Do you see what God just did? This is huge. He talked about the sexually immoral in the church, and he switched and he talked about the sexual immoral outside the church. We're talking about two groups of people. Two groups of people. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy, are swindlers, are idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. There it is. There it is. You got two groups of people. Man, this, you wouldn't believe. That's, I know, but you got to live in this world. These are the people in this world. You got to live with. You have to associate with them. You have to talk with them. You have to communicate with them. You have to interact with them. If not, I just have to take you out of the world. How many have said, I just came to know Jesus, just take me home? Now, I have said that. Linda says, yeah, you didn't want to get a retirement, nothing. You're leaving me here by myself. And so she and Jesus said, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. See, so it's communicate, and it's important. It says you would have to leave the world. God wants us integrated into the world, communicating to the world, but communicating Christ. But he doesn't want us yoked with it. All right. We live in a lost world that we have to be associated with. Now, God gives a little example, you know, about unbeliever associations. Okay, how do I know you interact with unbelievers, and, you know, how do I handle that? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 10:27. He helps us out here. And then there's other places he helps us out here. 1 Corinthians 10:27. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner, and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. Your lost neighbor asks you for dinner. Go. Jesus even said, go eat with sinners. Go. See, that's normal. We're supposed to interact. And, but you know, and dude, you vegans that go over and have, they serve you a steak. You know what Jesus says? Eat the steak. Eat the steak. Keep your mouth shut. Listen, keep this nice. Don't go over to somebody's house and tell them you don't like their food. You know? Especially if they're unbeliever. If they're unbeliever, you got to eat it. But I don't like that. Hey, no, you eat what's put in front of you. See what they're saying? No, you make an association and you kind of sacrifice when you're dealing with a believer. And you're dealing with a sexually immoral person with his girlfriend and like that. Go over, eat, have a nice dinner, enjoy yourself. Use the opportunity that comes to share about Jesus. And you can't share about Jesus when you tell them their food's no good. You see what I mean? I mean, this is just unbelievable logic, but God feels like he has to tell us. He has to tell us here. So have dinner with an unbeliever. Just don't be yoked to them. Just don't be yoked to them. Okay? Now again, if it's a believer, it says don't eat with them. There are two groups of people going on here. It's like the church ought to know better because we love Jesus. So we ought to know better. Right? You know, but everybody, they don't know better. They don't know better. So what we have here, understand what God is doing when he's communicating to us. And it helps us. It helps me when, if you understand what God's doing, it's easier to handle and to walk in it and to understand it, the principle of it. And God is not trying to introduce some isolationist theology or promote harsh relationship separations. He's not doing that. He is not. Don't be associated with him. These relationships, you can't hang around with these people. Don't. He's not doing that. He's just not doing it. He's making the point. He is not doing it. What is he concerned about? He said, but these believers, you go, have you been this guy? They're immoral, been in the church 20 years. Hey, brother, man, where's your relationship with Jesus? We have that conversation. This other person, friend of ours, and you're living with his girlfriend and whatever and stuff, they don't have that relationship. Then we sit talk. They didn't have it. He said, just eat dinner and enjoy yourself. Just eat dinner and enjoy yourself. See, and so that's what he's telling us to do. But he says, eat dinner and enjoy, but don't be yoked to them. Don't put your head in one side and their head and yoke to them. Don't be yoked to them. That's what he's saying. So what's God's issue? What is God? What is he trying to tell the church? What is his issue? God, here it is, the whole point. God is concerned about ungodly influence that will lead us away from Christ. That's it. That's what he's concerned about. If they claim to be a Christian in the church, you go, what are you doing? You know? But if they don't know Christ, if they don't know Christ, if they don't know Christ, he said, just enjoy them, have dinner, but don't be so yoked that they start leading you into their lifestyle to do what they do. You can't go there. Have dinner with them, you know, but don't go get drunk with them. That's really yoked. All right? Might be fun, but it's yoked. You see what I'm saying? You say, no, you enjoy these people. But no, you probably should skip that party. You know, does that make sense? But look at it from God's mind. What is he currently concerned about? He's concerned about you. He's concerned about, man, you got to look, keep your eyes on me. You know, and as soon as you're yoked with another believer, then you're pulled away. And that's what I'm concerned about. That's what he's going. Well, this is sin. No, the influence. I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you. See, that's what my concern is. Now, we even, you know, when we have this, you know, God, and God knows the difficulties. Like he said, I'd have to take you out of the world. No, I'm not doing it. Try asking. He won't do it. He just won't do it. See? So he knows. He fully knows the world we live in. He said, that's who you have to associate with, these people, and this is why you are. So, okay. In fact, he understands it. He gives a great thing. Paul himself, he tells us specifically to show, you know, you have to work within the situation you got, and, you know, and the impact it's having on you. See, that's the key. Well, they're bad. No, it's the impact they're having on you. That's the issue. That's not his work. It's not them. It's you. Paul encourages the Christian partner with an unbeliever in marriage to maintain the relationship. It's not sin. Unbeliever, he says, no, you're married. And no, maintain that relationship. He tells them specifically to maintain the relationship. I know what you're in. Let me explain it to you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 12 through 13. To the rest I say that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If he has a wife, he says, oh man, I came to know Jesus. Wife doesn't know Jesus. She says, okay. But she says, whatever. You know, I'm fine with wherever you're going like that, but it's just I'm not there yet. You know, I'm just not there. He says, okay, there's nothing wrong with that. You just keep moving. And it says that the spouse sanctifies the other believer, the unbeliever. Now, I don't understand that, but that's just what it says. The believing spouse sanctifies the unbeliever. And then she says, hey, all right, not there, but I'll go with you. You want to go to your silly potluck, go ahead. I'll fix something and bring it. Hallelujah. Everybody's happy. You know, come have the church party. And it goes on to say, if any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. No, you work on this relationship. You grow. You have an influence. And you ladies, you'll love this. You'll just love this, all right? And it says, your husband will be won over by your meek and quiet spirit. You sweet gals. Oh, you're all so sweet. You're so sweet. Oh, honey, that's okay. I'm with you. You know, whatever. You know, he's going to be one. Now, what are you doing, you idiot? Read the Bible. What part of John 3:16 don't you understand? Anyway, he goes, no. Just quit, weak, sweet spirit, which all of y'all have. I've witnessed it firsthand. All your husbands have verified it. Anyway, and so they'll win. And it says you'll win them over. I mean, the Bible, I don't know. He said it. He said you win them over. Don't divorce them, you know. Especially don't divorce them because they didn't take the trash out. I mean, you just kind of balance this out. Now, and again, but just read what it says. And to really kind of understand what the Lord is trying to help us, what, work and live in this world. He's trying to help us to function in it. And he knows where we are. He understands where we are. He's just trying to give us some pointers here. Now, and I think what you have to do is, you know, God is asking us to be honest. Are our friends leading us from Christ? That's the key. That's the key. Not that they're unbeliever. Are they leading you away from Christ? Don't be yoked to them if they'll lead you away from Christ. That's the point. And that's what he's concerned. Now, in that context, now he says some pretty strong stuff. After he says that, making the differentiate between a believer and an unbeliever, all this is true. But he says, listen, this is what's happening and this is what you need to be aware of. Okay, so verse 14 says, don't be unequally yoked. But now look, verse 15 says, why? This is what you're watching out for. This is why you need to be aware of this. Because there's no overhead for this. 2 Corinthians Verse 14 says, don't be unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians 6:15 and 16 says this. See, what accord has Christ with Satan? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? We are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them, walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Don't let anyone draw you away from me. That's the key. That's the key. Look at your relationship. Are you letting that person draw you away from God? That's his issue. That's the only issue. That's the only issue. Now, and he goes on to say, God is telling believers this is true. Therefore, God is telling us to separate from people who draw us away from Christ. My wife's not a believer. I'm leaving. No, I just told you don't do that. Don't. You missed the whole stinking point. I'm telling you. You missed the point. Look, you build that relationship. Don't get into something that leading you away from Christ. That's the whole issue. Leading you away from Christ. Okay. He's telling us that. And so God is telling us to separate from people who draw us away from Christ. Now listen, any believer here has gone through and grown up with a group of friends. And then lo and behold, you trusted Christ. Lo and behold, they think you're nuts. You know, and you can't do the things you used to do. You know, something's going to break. Something's going to break. You know, now you're going to come over and deny your Christian standards, or you're going to hold to them. And what happens? They reject you. You don't reject them. You just hold the cross, and they reject you. And you go, and God said, it hurts, but you got to do that. You got to let them go. You got to let them go. See? And why? Because he wants your whole heart. He's telling you why. He's telling you why here. And that's why he says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, therefore, because of who you are, therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. There it is. He's trying to help us here. He's trying to help us to navigate these waters to keep our hearts set upon him. Set upon him. Now, so what we have here, what we have the whole section here, 2 Corinthians 6:16 through 18 are all quotes, what the Apostle Paul uses. These are all quotes from the Old Testament. This wasn't anything new, you know, especially to the Jews. They're all Old Testament quotes that he's referring to here. And all these Old Testament quotes are Old Testament promises showing the blessings when people separate themselves from unbelieving associations that hinder their relationship with God. Now listen to what it says. You know, we have a tendency to like half listen to something like this. And it says, but he's telling people to separate from unbelieving associations that what? What did I just say? That what? Separate from unbelieving associations that what? Hinder your relationship to God. That's the key. That's the P. I don't like what they do. I don't like what a lot of Christians do. The point is, what's hindering your relationship with God? Is this association hindering your relationship with God? That's what he's talking about. And so we separate ourselves from bad influences that hinder us because we have promises from God. See, he's saying, listen, not this is hindering you, you're compromising, but you have this ton of promises I have for you if you just obey and separate yourself to me. You see what he's doing? See, so many times we look, oh, he's bad, that's bad, he's bad, shouldn't do that, don't do this. God says, why are you just No, I'm worried about your relationship with me. Does this draw you away or draws them to me? Period. It's not what they did. It's what you do. Where is your heart? See, that's what he's saying. Too many times Christians walk around, they get puffed up. And, you know, we call curses on other people, make judgments, and he do this, and that's important. You know, he's a bad influence. It's like that. See, I'm not worried about him being a bad influence. I'm worried about you following me. Leave him alone. You see what I'm saying? To me, it just makes all the difference in the world. I'm teaching you how to walk. You ever walk? Now, I bet everybody's done this. You ever walk, you go to some place, and you walk in, and all of a sudden you go, I don't think I should be here. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why, but I just don't feel. You don't have to know why. You shouldn't be there. You just walk, okay, we better not go in there. See, that's what I'm talking about. No, I have to see something nasty, and then I know I shouldn't be there. No, you're way too far down the line, you know, to even think that way. See, God, it's an attitudinal thing of walking with God. Y'all with me? Attitudinal. And if your old-time friends are pulling you away from Jesus, brothers and sisters. Now, so what we have here, we separate ourselves from bad influences that hinder us because we have promises of God. Now, here's a real important point, just a real important biblical theological point. You have chapter 6, period, and you start chapter 7, right? Wrong. Chapter 7, verse 1 belongs to chapter 6. All the commentators said, you know, so they didn't know it whenever they would put the chapter within the scriptures. But chapter 7, verse 1 is the last verse. It closes 6. And it's really important because it makes chapter 6 make sense. So make a note for me. 2 Corinthians 7, 1 is the last verse to chapter 6. Okay, listen to it. Since we have these promises, what promises? The ones he just said in chapter 6. Okay, that's making my point. Since we have these promises, 2 Corinthians 7, 1, beloved, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. There you go, in the fear. Well, why do I need to do that? In the fear of God. You know, you could say, you ought to do this because God is really, really serious about it. He should do it because he's really, really serious about it. Now, we're going to kind of wrap this up, close it. But here's where our mindset has to be with believers, you know, and how we function in life. By what? God is trying to protect us. He's trying to keep us making the right decisions. The focus is on us. The focus really here is not on the believers. It's on us. It's on us. So God is, he really is asking, are you devoted to me? Have you made a decision for me? Are you devoted to me? You know, do we really care what God said? Do we really care? You know? Well, he's saying, where's your heart? Where's your heart? That's what he's really saying. So, and what he's saying in chapter 7, verse 1, he said, as recipients of these promises of fellowship with God. See, he said, Wallace is a recipient of the promises. God, of all these, is you being a recipient of these promises of the fellowship with God. Wallace, you should avoid any interference that would hinder those promises. You see what he's saying? This is how he's talking to us. He's given us chapter 5. Oh, man, he's blown us away, chapter 5. But again, as recipients of these promises of fellowship with God, all Christians should avoid any interference unequally yoked. Any interference yoked that's interfering. All Christians should avoid any interference that would hinder those promises. It's about us. I want you to be everything. I want to be you, to be an outstanding fullback for the University of Alabama. I want you. But, you know, I just wish you'd quit staying up all night drinking and getting drunk in the bars and not eating right and stuff. Well, do you think that's a sin? No, that's keeping you from being an all-American fullback. That's why I want you to stop. I'm not saying what you're doing wrong, but that's going against everything I want you to be. See, this is what God's doing to us. I'm showing you how to get through this and navigate these things. Navigate these things. You just got to quit hanging out with the guys. I had a football, that's funny, and I hadn't thought about this in a million years. No, I'm not that old, 100 years. My football coach, and I was a senior in high school, he told me, golly, I can't even believe this must be Jesus. Right? I hadn't swear I hadn't thought about that. He said, you have a choice in your life. And he said, you can be an outstanding football player or you can be as big a drunk as your friends. He told me that. I had a choice. See? When he, oh, don't drink, that is sin. You shouldn't do it. That's not what he said. That wasn't what he worried about. He said, you have a choice. You can be a real good football player or you can be a drunk with your friends, not by myself. The friends are way more fun than the other guys, but that's right. I swear to God, I hadn't thought that. Oh my gosh, it really happened. But this is what God's doing to us. He says, I'm just trying to help you to be all you can be. That's what I want. I'm not trying to ruin your life or anything like that, but I want you to be everything you can be, and you have everything, but you have to make some decisions for that. Okay, so what we have, basically, we should fear, and the word's interesting, he uses for us, we should fear every possible hindrance that would impact, negative impact, our walk with God. It's like, oh, I shouldn't do that. No, it's like, oh my God, this will really take me away from Jesus. I can't do that. See the two different? Oh, I can't, but won't do. Oh, I can't, but won't do. Oh, my God, I can't do that because it's going to take away from me hearing from God. I don't want anything to come in between that. So it's an attitudinal change. See, are they sin? No. Are they drawing you away from Christ? That's it. That's the reason in 2 Corinthians, he doesn't identify any sins. None. You just read it through. Sometimes you're thinking something, but he didn't write it. He doesn't identify any sins. He goes, no, your attitude needs to change. I don't care who the people are. I don't care what the sin is. You making decisions that's drawing you away from me. We are to fear, and listen to this. I think this is huge. We are to fear any influence that would interfere with us hearing from God or drawing us away. We're going to do this. Well, I know one thing. I'm not going to be hearing Jesus here. It's not going to help me hear from Jesus. How you and so-and-so do? Great. He definitely ain't going to help me hear from Jesus. You know? Now, again, I'm going to use with jump thought, like the unbelieving husband and wife, you know. That's great. You know, if they had consent to say, hey, have at it. I will not interfere with you hearing from Jesus. I just ain't there. That's okay. That's okay. And again, it doesn't say anything about the men, so I don't know what to do to say about the men. But it does tell the women, you're so sweet and kind, you'll be, draw him in. But you're, it says that. But do you see what's happening? The question, we fear any influence. Oh my God, that's getting away from hearing from Jesus, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to watch that. Because that's taken away from me hearing from Jesus. That's polluting my mind. Polluting my mind. And I'm not going to do that because it scares me. Because then I can't hear from Jesus. You know. So, we want to hear clearly from the one who gave everything for us. That's it. I mean, do you see the attitudinal thing the heartfelt attitude of that. We want to hear clearly from the one who gave everything for us. Now listen to chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And boy, this starts making more and more sense of God's heart for us, more and more sense. If his heart is like that, God will do all sorts of things for us. If his heart's like that, he goes, look what I've done. Look what I've done. I'm worried about you. I want you on board with me. And he says something like 2 Corinthians 5:21. And listen to what he says. Look what God did. He goes, look what I did. I'm just asking you, you know, don't let anyone draw you away from me, because look what I did. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin. Period. I'm going to stop. Stop. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin. Let's don't even read the rest of the verse. Do not read the rest of the verse. Just try to comprehend that. Jesus did, and the Romans did, and the Jews did, and this. No, God made Jesus sin and then killed him. God goes, and you know then what God says? I'm serious. How can you let something interfere with what I've done for you? I'm serious. He says, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, that's what he says. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin. Who knew no sin? He didn't do nothing wrong. Who knew no sin? So that in Jesus, we're the sinner. So that we might become the righteousness of God. Just quit hanging out in bars and drinking and prowling around. I got so much more for you. I got so much for you that those friends that are leading you away. You know, I got so much more for you. Look what I did. I paid the ultimate. I'm just asking you to love me. Dear Heavenly Father, oh my goodness gracious, dear Heavenly Father, you love us more than we can ever imagine. You died for us. You filled us with your Spirit. And you're just saying, love me back. Love me back. Don't be yoked to something, anything, something, someone, whatever, that pulls you away from me. The world is yours for your enjoyment, but don't be yoked to anything that pulls you away from me. Your attitude, your heart attitude, the joy of loving Jesus, the joy of following Jesus in his power, being all that he has called us to be, being new creations, ambassadors. And he said, I'm there for you. Come before the throne of grace. Ask for help in your time of need. I'm for you. Come to me. So God, we give thanks to you. And this is not a restriction. You know, it is just a warning to help us to walk with you in this life. And we are to associate with the whole entire world. He's going to leave us here. We give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.